The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to The World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm Craig Fisher here in the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, 1270 AM WJJC, and heard worldwide on WJJC.com. .net. John, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Craig, and good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. It's such a privilege to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
John, it's a different world than we were even talking about a month ago with everything that's been going on with COVID-19 and the impact it's had in everybody's life. It's just amazing how this is going, and I think Jesus Christ's return is soon.
Amen, and I absolutely believe it is soon, although I certainly would in no way set a date for such things.
Correct.
We just know that it is very close based on the prophetic word and its fulfillment. In fact, I was thinking about some of the things we have discussed on prior episodes of World in Crisis here in the last 6 months particularly.
Right.
And one thing jumped out at me, that a number of times the Holy Ghost has given me the phrase or the declaration to admonish and encourage our audience at the same time that the events which you are seeing, the prophetic events described in Scripture, are being fulfilled. These events are not only accelerating, coming together, converging
yeah,
but accelerating right at the same time. I believe that's called a clue in my business.
You're used to clues. I'll have to give you that much for sure.
Amen.
Let's start off tonight with our quote of the day, John, and we'll get this show running.
Right. And since I've been up since 03:30,
yes,
it's been a long day.
Yes, that has for you.
The quote of the day comes from C.S. Lewis, quoting, "Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated, but those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience."
Wow. Unquote.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the worst kind of tyranny is the one which wants to take care of you. Now think about what some of these clown politicians,
yes, sir,
are telling you today.
It's for your own good, people. If you hear that, really look into what they're saying.
Well, they just want to take care of you.
Yes.
And correct, they know better how to manage and micromanage every detail of your life than you do.
Right.
Of course.
That's right.
That should horrify people and send you running in the other direction.
Well, John, a friend of my wife's who is from Italy, discussed with her relatives in Italy. Again, the coronavirus is very, very severe there. And in there, they have talked throughout the country, and this is happening, if you're 80 years old and over and have COVID-19, you will not get any treatment. They have a very large, older population, and it's time to thin them out, is the words from the Italian government.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. For any of you, and particularly the longtime listeners to this ministry, know that as far back as the Obama administration and the so-called Obamacare,
right,
I was telling you that socialized medicine is not about your care, it is about eugenics.
Correct.
In Nazi Germany, in 1930s Germany, they were called useless eaters.
That's right.
And in the end, they simply euthanized them. And they will do more or less the same to you. They don't. It has nothing to do with your care. It's about ensuring you die in a timely manner. Now, if you want to go down the road of this fool Sanders and whoever,
yeah,
else is espousing this kind of nonsense in the Green New Deal and ad nauseum, it will lead you right into the pit of a devil, not only the grave,
right,
but for the population at large, right into hell. certainly hell on earth, which is coming, by the way.
That's right.
Because at the end, they will get their wish. You see, the good news is that the church, we as members of the body of Christ, one day soon, we'll hear a trumpet blow. Right. We'll hear the Lord Jesus call us out of this world to come up here, and we shall instantly be transformed into those glorified bodies to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And as Paul declared to the Thessalonica church, thus shall we be with the Lord forever.
Right.
Okay. But then will ensue the most horrific period of judgment, called the time of Jacob's trouble in Isaiah 28. The most horrific period of judgment that this world has ever seen. As a matter of fact, there shall be tribulation such not since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. That's what the Word of God declares.
Yes, sir.
You cannot get your mind around the horror of the judgment to come. They will be hiding in the clefts of the rocks, and they'll be calling to the rocks and to fall on them and hide us from the face of the Lamb and He who sits on the throne.
Amen.
Because they will know that judgment has come, and they are absolutely worthy of it.
That's exactly right, and they will not be able to hide.
And they shall not escape.
Nothing will escape. That's exactly right, John. But I thought it was funny how this actually came from a senior citizen in Italy, this information.
Right.
And she has been finding out about her daughters, and they said, don't come. You'll get no care from us.
Well, and of course, this notion in the quote of the evening from C.S. Lewis,
yes,
that really speaks to socialist and communist systems. Because at the heart of those systems, and I think we'll probably be talking about this because we had some questions about the virus, which will lead us into a discussion of the actions taken by governments around the world.
Okay.
However, this world is being prepared to accept absolute totalitarian control.
Right.
And what we're seeing is simply a calling card. But
yes.
Italy and these concepts of socialized medicine, single payer, all you have to do is look at England, look at Canada, look at Italy, and the end result is death.
Right.
See? It's just like when, I'm dating myself, but the old Bond movie, Goldfinger.
Yes.
Where he's got Sean Connery there tied on something. He got a laser cutting a steel, you know,
right
headed up his center. And Bond says, you expect me to talk, Goldfinger? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Amen.
And that's exactly what they expect.
Correct.
They expect you to die. They will make the determination who gets the treatment. And by the way, as we discussed several episodes ago, it is absolutely predictable that one day you could hear something like, Mr. Gassert, we see here that you need a procedure for a heart bypass.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you could just get your thinking and your voting right, we might be able to see our way clear to approve that procedure.
Exactly.
Now, you don't think that could happen?
Right.
Think again.
It absolutely will. And I'm telling you, any dissidents to Adolf Hitler were killed and were not given anything. So, I mean, this is the same thing. We've seen it. It will happen again, John.
All you have, ladies and gentlemen, study history.
That's it. Study history.
All right.
All right. Will you start us off with what you'd like to talk about?
We had some questions.
Well, it was about the coronavirus. You know, we had several inquiries about this virus. And, John, it all centers around the fact that are these the last of virus? Again, what is coming and what is showing, what's going to happen on a political level in our world, on a religious level? Churches are closing because of this virus. And these were some of the comments that were sent to us. Is this the last of the last days before the rapture?
The short answer is yes.
There you go.
This is perhaps a calling card, but it is certainly one which has profound implications as it relates to the preparation for the kingdom of Antichrist.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, as I have preached now since about 2004, certainly since I was ordained, in 2004, that the Antichrist system will be politically and philosophically underpinned by Marxist socialism.
Yes, yes.
because it gives you an economic, and this is precisely what we're seeing unfold worldwide, that most of the world is under some form of socialism today.
Correct.
We're the last of the holdouts. And as I have declared in this ministry over many years now, there are only two forces restraining the revelation of the son of perdition, the Antichrist, and allowing the establishment of his kingdom. The first is the Holy Ghost, as Paul described to the Thessalonican church, that he who restrains will continue to restrain until he is taken out of the way. Not removed, just taken out of the way.
Right.
He has to be here in order for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ.
And they will.
And they will. After the rapture.
Yes.
But you have returned to the Old Testament dispensation of law.
Mm-hmm.
The church age, the age of grace, will have concluded at that point.
Right.
And the only people sealed, of course, are the 144,000 Jews who are anointed, sealed of God, and protected through that entire period of judgment. And you will note that it is the seal there is the same Greek root that Paul uses of the church in Ephesians 1. You are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given as a pledge to the redemption of God's own possession. We were bought with a price by the precious blood of a lamb unblemished, the precious blood of Christ. And once you are born again, you cannot be unborn. Once you are sealed, you can't be unsealed. There's no power in this universe or outside of it that can change it, because it is eternally purchased by the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But now, once you have once the Lord has removed the church, and you move back to that last 7 years under the dispensation of law, you've got to, as Jesus declared, you have to be faithful unto death. You cannot receive the mark. You can't worship the image of the beast or both. If you do, you're done. We talked about this several weeks ago, and I quoted from Revelation 14 that anyone who takes that mark or worships that image is headed for hell fire.
That's right.
You cannot be saved after that.
You are
eternally doomed.
That's right.
That's exactly what God's word declares.
Yes, it is.
And so it's the truth. But what we are seeing is that how quickly people are willing to exchange freedom for some imagined or promised security. Benjamin Franklin Dr. Franklin who once observed that those who exchange freedom for security end up with neither freedom nor security.
That's right.
Hold this. I probably need to go to Revelation. I want to make sure this is something non-negotiable, because the way this came up is that our understanding is John MacArthur had made some sort of comments that a Christian could take that mark and somehow still be saved
Correct.
In the tribulation.
That's right.
Which is a lie. That is a lie out of the pit of hell.
And look that up. You know, one thing too, I want to make a point as you're going to the scriptures, John. The 144,000 that you mentioned, Jews that are saved in the tribulation, they are saved after the rapture.
Correct.
They are not. And I've heard people say, "Well, who know? How do you determine which Christians don't get raptured? Because the 144,000 can't be sealed after the rapture."
First of all, these are Jews.
Yes. Yeah. They're Jews. That you're exactly right. Yeah.
Who are saved after the rapture of the church.
Right, after the
rapture. These are young men. These are chaste. These are young men who are chaste and who have never been married.
Gotcha.
That's what Scripture declares.
Okay.
And so, hold on. Pick this up.
Yes. Well, I want to make that point, because I've heard conflicting stories about the 144,000, and they will only be saved after the rapture, because all who are saved before will be called up to heaven.
Right. And I'm here in Revelation 14, and of course in verses 6, 7, and so forth, is an angel. There are three sources of the gospel during the time of Jacob's trouble.
Okay.
The first are the two witnesses, probably Moses and Enoch, preaching before the temple and protecting Israel during the first half, the first 1,260 days of the time of Jacob's trouble. There are the 144,000 Jews who are sealed and are proclaiming the gospel to men. And then, as John describes, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And then, I'm going to move on down to verse 9, and another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full measure in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. It is crystal clear.
Absolutely, folks. That should put that question to rest. It is crystal clear how that happens. You take that mark. Anybody takes that mark during the tribulation, they cannot and will not be saved, no matter what happens at that time.
Right. So I know we're coming up against a hard break, but just to put some context in as we go into the next segment, and of course we hear the term deep state and right. those sorts of things, which is in some ways a euphemism for the money changers. Ladies and gentlemen, the men who make the real decisions on this earth are those you do not see. You don't see these boys are above laws and right. nations.
Right.
There are about 13 families. They are called the Illuminati is right. actually an organization which was formalized by Adam Weishaupt, a human devil, in 1776 in Germany. And so it is these 13 families and their leadership of those families who actually make the decisions. I call them the money changers.
Right.
The term is biblical, and it certainly seems to fit. Just to put it in perspective, the Rothschild family wealth exceeds 75% of the combined world population by some estimates up to as much as $700 trillion. You can't get your mind around that.
No.
Trust me when I say he doesn't answer to any government.
That's exactly right. On that note, let's step out. We'll take our first break. We'll be back with more John Gassert and the World in Crisis right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone, to the World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm Craig Fisher here in the studios, whispering 95.1 FM, 1270 AM, WJJC Radio, and worldwide on WJJC.net. John, welcome back to you. And you know, some of these financial numbers are staggering, but $700 trillion in one private fortune should ring very loud in people's ears.
Well, and they intermarry.
Correct.
There are bloodlines within these families.
That's right, John.
And I would submit, we have discussed this in years past, that as John described in the Revelation, there will be 10 kings who arise. They have no kingdom yet, but they are given a kingdom. And they give their authority to the beast in 1 hour. That would be 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I submit that we are moving to a point. The end game here is a world mm-hmm. without borders and nations as we understand them today. In 1989, the Wall Street Journal described that by the turn of the century, 2000, shortly thereafter, 200 corporations would own 54% of all the productive assets on Earth.
That's right.
And that has continued to escalate. But it is tightly controlled. At the center of this satanic cabal are central banks.
Yes.
If you remember,
yes.
Andrew Jackson, General Jackson, railed against them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Jackson administration was the only administration in U.S. history which had zero debt.
Correct.
But he called them out. He called the international bankers and financiers a den of vipers. He said, "And I shall rout you out by the eternal God. I shall rout you out." And they couldn't stand it. We fought against this tooth and nail for about the first 140 years of the Republic.
Right.
And finally, the tipping point came, of course, during the Wilson administration when this country was sold out by the Rockefeller clan and the money changers down at Jekyll Island.
That's correct.
Who orchestrated, put together the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor is it a reserve. It's a system of privately held banks.
Right.
And something, it is beyond anything an alchemist could ever dream of. Because here are private banks which can create money out of thin air and then loan it to the government and charge interest on it and get repaid.
And get paid back.
Now, what kind of Ponzi? Now, you're talking
wow.
about the gold standard of Ponzi scheme.
So very true. And we've all bought into it.
Correct. Now, what is interesting, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. Do you know where banking began, Craig?
I do, because we've talked
about
it here.
Because I've taught you where
you
banking began.
You have taught me that very thing.
Exactly. Now I'm about to teach our audience.
Plains of...
Banking began on the plains of Shinar.
Yes, sir.
In ancient Babylon.
Correct.
Or Uruk. Names are interchangeable. Yeah. In any event, under Nimrod, who was Ham's grandson, likely infected with the Nephilim gene. The Bible says he was becoming a mighty one in the earth. Remember, he was two generations out. This gene was likely recessive, beginning to manifest itself. And the Hebrew verb there is geborim. It's the same verb used of the mighty men of old, the men of renown, in Genesis 6, the offspring of the Nephilim, which comes from the Hebrew root nephal, meaning fallen ones.
Yeah.
Nimrod was obviously endowed with satanic type intelligence. As a matter of fact, when they tried to build the Tower of Babel, that was to connect to a dimensional portal. It wasn't to physically reach to heaven.
Right.
They were trying to reconnect with the fallen ones, with those demonic intelligence and the entities on the other side of the veil, to regain the occult and esoteric knowledge which existed before the flood.
Correct.
And of course, God could not tolerate such a thing. And the narrative is found, of course, in Genesis 11. And hopefully we may be able to get to that, or at least by next week.
Well, and also don't forget, Nimrod was a type of Antichrist.
And Nimrod was a type of Antichrist. Look, it was that system.
Yes.
The first seat of Satan after the flood was on the plains of Shinar.
That's right.
And presided over by Nimrod, mm-hmm. who was a type of Antichrist. And it was the first one-world political, economic, and religious system. By the way, they had a pontiff over them.
Oh.
And you confessed all your known sins to a priest when they initiated you into this Babylonian mystery religion.
Right.
Now, we used to say in the armed forces that if you have them by a certain part of the anatomy, I'll clean it up for
yes. Yes.
For some of our more tender ears. If you have them by a certain part of the anatomy, their hearts and minds will follow.
Amen.
And that's exactly correct. So they could extort you or whatever.
Right.
But let's go back to banking, because remember, the system of Antichrist is not a military system of control. It is an economic
Amen.
System of control.
Exactly.
And at the midpoint, when the false prophet creates an image to the beast, which has to be worshipped or you be killed, at the same time, if you read that from Revelation 13, the verse connects, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man can buy nor sell except he who has the mark of the number of his name. Now, the Greek there for in can also mean to prick.
Okay.
I would say in light and within the context of today's technology, it is likely an injectable microchip which will authenticate identity. I can tell you, because I worked white collar at one point as a detective,
yes.
That all that false identification is the basis of all fraud at point of sale. You don't know who you're dealing with.
Right.
Now, there's coming a day when, listen, ladies and gentlemen, look what has happened just with the onset of this virus.
Right.
We've got something like 8,000 cases or 9,000 in the U.S.
Yes,
I don't know
correct.
What the latest. 150 dead out of a nation of 320 million. Now, I'm not sure the math adds up here, but if you see this kind of fear and hysteria mm-hmm. based on a virus, what in the world will they forfeit when hundreds of millions of people vanish into thin air one morning or afternoon or evening? When they vanish into thin air, something Newtonian physics says is impossible,
yep.
but it will absolutely happen, they will be prepared to accept the leadership of charismatic authority without question.
Of whoever can come forth with a logical explanation for what's happening.
Right. And so going back to Nimrod,
yes.
this one, what that system, that ancient Babylonian system, is the template for the last mm-hmm. world system. And we're seeing it put in place before your eyes.
Okay.
So before the break, as I was discussing the deep state and the coronavirus, Is this pandemic an excuse to push us further along into some sort of end-time socialist New World Order? Why, yes, yes it is, because it's convenient. As a matter of fact, it's too convenient in my view, and I do not believe all my professional experience argues against coincidence. I do not believe in it. And so what I would say is that we are seeing populations around the world being prepared to accept absolute control based on emergency conditions.
Yes, that's what's happening.
And that control will evolve on the basis of Marxist socialism. So the Beast Kingdom is economically underpinned politically and economically by Marxist socialism, and the one world religious system is underpinned by an amalgamation of apostate Christianity centering in Rome and Islam and every other type of ism you want to hook on to it. But principally a mix of apostate Christianity and Islam.
See, and we've already seen that starting. We've already seen that happening right now, this Chrislam idea.
Well, and as Dr. Tom Horn wrote in 2013, it's been assumed for centuries that a prerequisite for the coming of Antichrist would be a revived world order, an umbrella under which national boundaries dissolve and ethnic groups, ideologies, religions, and economics from around the world orchestrate a single and dominant sovereignty. This is what the Pope has been calling for now for several years.
Exactly.
At the head of this utopian administration, a single personality will surface. And, of course, he will. He will appear to be a man of distinguished character, but ultimately will become a king of fierce countenance, as described in Daniel 8:23. With imperious decree, he will facilitate a one-world government, universal religion, and global socialism. Those who refuse his New World Order will inevitably be imprisoned or killed, until at last he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God, as Paul described to the Thessalonican church in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. So, we see such things as, what was that clown's name, that fool who was Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, yes.
Profane man.
Yep, that's
And
right.
His brother. By the way, his brother Zeke was a doctor who helped carve out or put together the plans for Obamacare. And it was his brother that said, once you get to be 70 years old, you shouldn't get any treatment.
Correct. He was the one that set up the death panels.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, we're not going to have death. Well, they were lying through their teeth.
That's right.
Just like they lied about your doctor. They lied about the cost. They are lies because they're right out of the pit of hell. And they follow their master.
Amen. That's right.
So, all right, I get to hollering and preaching and going.
Go
on
right
here.
Ahead now.
All right. Yeah, I got a PhD.
Yes. What's that?
Preaching hell and damnation.
Hey.
Hellfire and damnation. But
and we want you to.
Well, look, there are not enough preachers who are calling out sin.
That's right.
And the abominations being tolerated all through this land and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't tolerated at Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think it's going to be tolerated
right.
today?
Exactly.
Do you think you can butcher 60 million babies without consequence? I think not.
I think
the judgment of God is about to come and descend on you, and you shall not escape. And the Bible declares that I will make mortal man as scarce as the gold of Ophir, and there will be few men left.
Amen. That's right. There will be few men left.
I suspect not more than about 16% of the world population.
16.
But if you look at the timeline based on the Bible and an analysis of Antichrist and how he would create this business, you would, of course, consider some global trigger.
Okay.
Now, the coronavirus is a trigger.
Yeah.
Which has produced governments which have initiated all sorts of draconian measures.
That's correct.
I think there are a number of cities which have already introduced such things as curfews.
That's right.
Now, yep. I know an attorney who described that this is likely unconstitutional, because it is tantamount to house arrest.
It does, correct.
Now, where's your Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
where are your Fourth and Fifth Amendment
that.
Rights and all those sorts of things?
Right, correct.
So, this socialist world order will likely come to full fruition based on a triggering event, too.
Okay.
The rapture of the church.
Yes.
When Christ calls his church out of this world, and they will be scared to death.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They will accept anything as long as somebody can give them an explanation, which will be a lie.
But you also think today, with coronavirus, that certain items at stores are scarce. John, there will be a run on every product that's out in this world when the rapture happens.
Oh,
and there's going to be a lot of suppliers
absolutely.
That will be gone.
Well, we haven't been able to carve out a time which we need to do here sometime in the near future to discuss the alien factor.
Exactly. That's
because the ladies and gentlemen, what am I, preacher, what in the world? You lost your mind? No, I ain't lost my mind. I know what God's word says.
Yes.
Because there's every indication that the Nephilim would reappear at the end of time. We know that in Genesis 6, God's word declares that the Nephilim were in the world in those days and also after that, after the flood. And well, they were in the world after the flood. We know they were in Canaan and likely taken, procreated there by Ham's son, Canaan,
right.
whom the Bible declares to be cursed. Canaan was cursed, and when the spies went into Canaan, what did they find? Giants in the land. You see.
Yes.
So, I would say, my exegesis is the infection never left the earth.
Okay.
And there, I believe it still exists on this earth, probably in a little different form. They don't look like they did in the antediluvian world before the flood. But the UFO phenomena,
right.
unidentified aerial phenomena, and such has been with us for thousands of years. It is not something that popped up in 1947 after Roswell.
Correct, that's right.
These lights and entities and so forth have been described in multiple civilizations across the earth, and the archaeologists simply cannot, they do not have an answer for the megaliths and such that have been erected all over the earth, which are impossibilities. They did not have the mathematics, the geometry, nor the tools or machinery to erect such things.
That's
in
exactly
fact,
right.
many of them could not be erected today because we simply don't have equipment that
that's
would
right.
lift
yeah, that's right.
the kind of weights which mm-hmm. are involved. And so we find in Daniel 2, and I know we had a listener that had a question about Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Yes,
and the
absolutely. We sure did.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
we did.
First of all, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, ladies and gentlemen, there will only be five world empires.
Right.
The Babylonian, the Persian, the Greek, the Roman, and the revived Roman Empire under Antichrist. Now, four of those have come and gone in antiquity. Mm-hmm. The legs of iron represented Rome in his vision, which was a divided kingdom east and west,
right.
Constantinople, today Istanbul, and Rome.
Okay. Well
the feet and toes didn't grow together, so it's still a divided kingdom, except this time I would submit Rome and New York, because the false religion system centers in Rome, the seven mountains on which the harlot sits, and that great city, that economic Babylon described in Revelation 18, has to be a port city, and she reigns over the kings of the earth. Well, New York is a port city. It is the center of economic activity in this world. It is the economic center of the world, but it has not yet reigned. It will reign when Antichrist comes to power.
Okay.
Vis-a-vis the United Nations, right. which sits on the banks of the East River. But unlike Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye in their Left Behind series, where the Secretary General was the Antichrist, Secretary General will be toting coffee for this boy.
Right, that's correct.
I guarantee it. He will become president of the world. But there's every indication, because it has to be a port city. Rome is not a port city. Brussels is not a port city. Paris is not a port city. It's here. out of the New World. The New World Order was founded upon America. All you have to do, if you go back and study the history, when the New Atlantis was written, it called for a foundation of the New World Order in the New World, and out of it, its leader would come.
Okay.
In France, Sir Francis Bacon penned those words, and it was published about 1802, as I recall. So this is not anything new. At one point, New York was called Babylon. I call it New Babylon because it is precisely fitting, and it fits with Revelation 18.
Exactly.
So what we are seeing is the world being prepared for the kingdom of Antichrist and to accept his absolute totalitarian control.
Amen. That's exactly right. Folks, we're going to take our last break on this edition of The World in Crisis with John Gassard. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone, to The World in Crisis with John Gassard. I'm Craig Fisher here in the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, 1270 AM WJJC, and heard worldwide on WJJC.net. John Gassard is with me tonight. John, a fantastic show to point, and I know the Holy Spirit's still got some more to say.
Well, I'm just a messenger boy.
Yep, that's right.
And unlike Joe Biden, just to hopefully prove I hadn't lost my mind or I can't finish connecting the dots with what I started, because we did have a question about Nebuchadnezzar's vision. Look, the feet and toes are representative of the revived Roman Empire under Antichrist. But if you go back to Daniel 2 and you read a very cryptic verse, because it says the iron is mixed with miry clay.
Yeah.
And some are weak and some are brittle, but together they're tough as iron. But there's a cryptic verse, there's a little semicolon, it says, they will mingle themselves with the seed of men.
That's right.
Now, the Hebrew there is zera, meaning offspring. They will mingle themselves with the offspring of men. Now, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas makes the observation, who would they be?
Yeah, that's right.
Because men is not the antecedent, it is they, you see. And, of course, we know that there will be false signs and lying wonders such that it would be able to deceive the very elect if that were possible. So what my exegesis is this, not only will they be scared to death when hundreds of millions of people vanish into thin air, but I won't see it because we'll be with
Correct.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I submit that if you are here and are left behind on this earth after the church is removed, you will actually see aliens. They will manifest themselves in the physical world, and they will be beheld. They may even be worshipped, because Antichrist will ultimately demand worship of himself alone. However, there is every indication that this phenomena is demonic. It is coming right out of the pit. As Dr. Jacques Vallée, who is a French astrophysicist, wrote in his book on the subject, and he studied this for decades, he said they are messengers of deception and preparing the world for a delusion perhaps too terrible to imagine. Now, in years past, when we have touched on some of this, what we find is that when people have contact with these UFOs, and certainly with the entities associated with them, mm-hmm. the result is nothing good.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, they go mad, or they have all kinds of physical problems. In other words, the consequences are similar to what happened in ages past when described people described contact with demons. You see, these are demonic entities,
right?
And they are preaching deception. And what we find is most of them, almost without exception, that the messages which are given to people by these so-called higher entities always deny biblical Christianity. Now, why would they come light years if it came from some little green planet or whatever it is,
right,
just to deny biblical Christianity? Well, the answer is They would not. And by the way, they didn't come from another planet. These are interdimensional beings. They come out of the spiritual dimension. This is what happened before the flood in the antediluvian world when 200 fallen angels descended on Mount Hermon. They are described by Enoch. Enoch wrote a book about it. They were called the Watchers. The Bible calls them the Nephilim, the fallen ones. They cohabitated with women and produced a race of giants. And, of course, Satan's strategy there was to try to corrupt the bloodline of the Messiah and prevent his birth. That's why in Genesis 3 that the scripture reads, when God passed judgment on the man and the woman and Satan, he told Satan, I'll put enmity between her seed and your seed. Again, the Hebrew there is Zerah, meaning offspring.
Okay.
Well, we know the offspring of the woman is Messiah.
Right.
That is Jesus Christ. But pray tell, who would the offspring of Satan be? Can we fast forward 6,000 years? Possibly Antichrist?
Right.
You see, I have made the case any number of times in this ministry, and will make it again, that Antichrist will likely be infected with the Nephilim gene.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the evidence there is that in Revelation 13, he's described as the beast. He's called Antichrist in 1 John.
Okay.
But in the Revelation, he's called the beast. Now, this is where the English language failed. As one of my mentors, Dr. David Boyd, used to tell me, he said, John is always the Greek.
Yes.
Well, the Greek here, if the analogy, if the metaphor had to do with an animal, it should be the Greek word zoon, Z-O-O-N, from which we get zoo. Mm-hmm. However, it is the Greek noun therion, T-H-E-R-I-O-N, normally used in context when describing gargoyles or Nephilim.
Gotcha.
I would submit that I follow these clues just like I would as a detective in a criminal investigation.
Exactly.
You let the evidence lead you. And what I would submit, ladies and gentlemen, is there's strong, strong evidence, there's circumstantial evidence, at least, that this man will be infected by the Nephilim gene. And we know he does not die when he sustains a mortal head wound with the sword. And the Greek there is makahira. It's like a Roman officer's short sword, okay, or even a dagger. Probably a small caliber weapon such as killed Bobby Kennedy. But this man will survive miraculously.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere between life and death, he will be made the same offer made to Jesus Christ: all the kingdoms of the world. Now, I want to remind you, when Satan made that offer to Christ, Christ didn't refute that.
Right.
He did not refute Satan's ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because man signed over the title deed. The first Adam signed over the title deed of this earth.
Right.
But it is the last Adam, the line of the tribe of Judah, who will roar out of the heavens to reclaim it.
Yeah.
And reclaim it one day. Very soon.
Jesus did not deny the fact that Satan could do that.
Absolutely.
He did not deny it anywhere in the Bible. So you're exactly right, John. That's a great point.
So when this man accepts the deal and he miraculously recovers, what they find out is you can't stop him and you can't kill him.
Okay.
Only Jesus Christ can do that. Now, interestingly, and going back to Nimrod and to Antiochus Epiphanes in Daniel 11, the Bible says he comes in peaceably, and by flatteries he obtains the kingdom. He doesn't arise through military power. And Daniel 7 describes him as a little horn, a little politician, with a mouth speaking great words and boast. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and he will. And everything from abortion to killing babies and homosexuality and God only knows, bestiality, and God only knows what will be approved. There will be no end to the invention of evil during the reign of this Antichrist. But banking. Remember, it's an economic system of control.
Yes.
I'm going to briefly touch on this, so I hopefully will finish connecting these dots.
Okay.
Nimrod, they called it in ancient Babylon, wealthy people would bury their valuables, gold and so forth, and mound it up. Mm-hmm. A bank. Mm-hmm. It was banked.
A bank. That's
where
right.
the term came from.
Yeah.
Well, Nimrod observed this, and he said, look, boys, just bring your stuff into the temple treasury, into the temple of Baal, and we'll take care of it for you. So then he noticed that, for the most part, it sat there for long periods of time. So he came up with the notion of fiat currency. That is, I'll loan money against the wealth. I'll create a currency and loan this currency, this money, against the wealth that's in the temple treasury.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the beginning of fractional banking.
Exactly.
Which we have down to this very day. And it will underpin the economic system of Antichrist. It will be a one-world economic system. You see, that article I was referencing in from the Wall Street Journal in 1989, not only will all these corporations, where you have central control of so much of the world's assets, but under the economic zone concept, there are already 10 economic zones.
Right.
So as the Wall Street Journal described in that time, he said that by the time this occurs, national borders or boundaries will make very little difference,
right,
and not be as important as capital surging between economic centers. So the 10 kings will come to power and oversee apparently these 10 economic zones. The last one was put in place when Clinton signed NAFTA in 1993. There are 10 economic zones on this earth, Craig.
Folks, it's unfolding. It's unfolding as we speak in the headlines right before our eyes. John, I want you to talk about what we're going to hit next week.
Well, I'm going to talk about how the Israeli defense minister says we're in the third temple era.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
going to talk about how a third of millennials approve of communism. We're going to talk about Christian, I'm going to put this in quote, Christian witches gathering in Salem on Resurrection Day,
oh,
not Easter. By the way, when it comes up, I'm going to do take part of the program and explain the pagan origins of Easter.
Yes,
quote.
Good.
The Sanhedrin gets authorization to use their trees for the third temple, and how environmentalism was and always was about achieving world government. Well, there's so much to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. Please do not miss an episode of World in Crisis.
John, I've got one issue that I can't wait to hear next week. I believe it's far more than one-third of millennials that believe in communism.
I would not debate that.
Yeah, I think that number's awful low. Let's turn now to your thoughts for the day for this episode, John.
Well, let me say, first of all, that we need more men to stand in the gap.
That's right.
Such as our president. Mm-hmm. We need men who are not for sale. We need men who are honest, sound from center to circumference, true to the heart's core. We need men with consciences as steady as the needle to the pole. We need men who will stand for the right if heavens totter and the earth reels. We need men who tell the truth and look the world in the eye. We need men who neither brag nor run. We need men who neither flag nor flinch. We need men who have courage without shouting it. We need men in whom the courage of everlasting life runs deep, still, and strong. Men who face eternity and who are not afraid to die. Men who know their message and tell it. Men who know their place and fill it. Men who know their business and attend it. Men who will not lie, shirk, or dodge. Men who are not too lazy to work or too proud to be poor. Men who are not ashamed to say no with emphasis, and who are not ashamed to say, I can't afford it. Men who are willing to stand in the gap and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, and from the courthouse to the White House, that Jesus Christ is Lord in this land from sea to shining sea. My final thought
yes.
comes from Paul in yes. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 10. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Listen very carefully.
Yes.
He made him, that is Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God
right.
in him. When a person is saved, the blood of Jesus is applied to the lintel post of the heart. And God no longer sees your sin, but the blood of his Son. You become a new creature. Old things have passed away. You become born again. and you pass from death to life and life eternal, I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you might confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you might be saved and escape the coming night which is about to descend and the judgment of God which is about to come upon this world. May the Lord richly bless you.
Don't wait, folks. I'm going to say don't wait. Do it now. Don't mess around with the salvation, John.
Do not play Russian roulette with eternity.
Amen. For John Gassert, I'm Craig Fisher with The World in Crisis. Thanks for listening.